My next guest is a legend, Don Boyer, actually back from season one. Stuff was so good, we just had to do it again. Don's been diving since the 60s. He's been teaching since the 70s or 80s. Not only scuba diving, but marine rescue. He works one of the most treacherous, dangerous beaches, Daytona and South Daytona and Ponce Inlet. A hoot to be around. I've never seen personality like this in my life. I mean, this guy's having more fun and doing more at 77 than most people I know, even younger than me. I just hope I'm there at this age, but gosh, his take on everything is just amazing. He's just fun to listen to. He could literally talk about the sand and it's funny. People are, hey, Don, hey, hey, he just walks the beat. He knows everybody. His parrot wasn't with him this time. It's at his other location, unfortunately. But yes, he has a parrot. But over 40 years of beach training, law enforcement training, marine rescue, lifeguard, and of course, scuba diving instruction. There's a wealth of knowledge there. He's definitely somebody I learn a lot from. And I hope you enjoy this next interview with the great Don Boyer. Don, thanks for coming back on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We tried to do this at your house. You said it was too hot.
It's too hot there, yeah. East onshore winds, and I live on a dune. It's west of the dune, so it's a bowl back there, triple-digit numbers. It's just too hot.
We pulled up in to do it, and you pulled up next to us in the car and said, follow me. Here we are. We're on the beach here in South Daytona. That's a result of which hurricane?
This is from Nicole, last year's Blasterowski. Ian was the one the year before that just wrecked this town.
Well, the beach still looks beautiful, but man, this seawall is destroyed.
Oh, it looks like Beirut in a lot of places. And I only know Beirut from TV, so.
Real quick, for those that don't know your story, you were back on one of the first episodes of season one. That was definitely a learning phase. It's always a learning phase. You started diving in, you said 1980?
Actually, no, in the 60s. So you started, I was in high school.
You started diving in high school in the 60s.
Spent most of my diving in the coastal Florida and, of course, the Springs because I grew up in central Florida.
You eventually became an instructor.
Much later, but yes.
You teach all the open water classes. You teach leadership. So you do teach CAVE. You do teach tech. You teach all that. And you taught and worked for the Marine Rescue, right?
Yes.
You did beach safety. You worked the beach. Like, you've done beach rescues.
Yeah, a few.
You're not going to give me any concrete answers.
I don't know how to answer that. You know, sometimes it's almost like you're tooting your own horn. No, I had a good career. It was fun. I'm old and I have experience. I'd say experience.
Jeez. All right. I'm just going to leave it at that.
What should I say? What would a person say?
From our first interview, people reacted really strongly to what you said about putting a mask on the forehead. Now, you said that you don't have any problem with you or students putting a mask on the forehead as long as you're not in CHOP to sit there and chit-chat with each other.
Yeah, I think SA is the most important thing with any of your students.
SA?
Situational awareness. If you're not teaching situational awareness, you're missing the whole point of everything. That's life.
A lot of people say it's a sign of panic.
Okay.
What do you say to that?
The same thing I probably said before. This is not a panic move. This could be a panic move, even though it's associated with certain technical diving courses. They always put it around, turn their masks backwards. And I guess that erases the idea of, like, they didn't just pull it down and go, oh, God. You know, they didn't do that. All the rescues that's ever involved equipment other than just swimming ability and your rescue tubes. Every aquatic sport, they put their mask on their head. They put their goggles on their head. It's just a normal, relaxed. This is how we function. Just setting up there doesn't cause any problems at all for a person. It's a very simple, almost automatic reaction. Yeah, okay. Kenny, did you see that moray? You know, something like that.
People got really riled up about this.
Yeah, you told me. Yeah.
What are you? I hear people saying, "Oh no, that's a sign of panic. You're teaching them bad habits. They're going to lose their mask and all this stuff." What do you say to that?
I say I agree with that person because they know how they teach their students. And to me, they're failing them. They're not teaching them situation awareness. If you come up and the water's 4 foot seas, I just keep my mask on and Kenny, you see that moray? And wait for the pickup. It just used to really get on me when I would hear students from leadership level chastising students with their mask on their head, and I thought, why? What's the problem? Now, if you don't recognize that student's in trouble, you really need to take an aquatic lesson about aquatic behavior.
I had people literally saying, by me putting the post, your post up there, saying, this is not a panic move, teach them situational awareness, mask on the forehead is not a panic move, that I am making their life a living hell and creating a dangerous situation by putting that out there.
I can respond to that. No, he is not. If you feel that that's the way to teach, teach it. We're all doing the same thing, trying to teach people to safely and enjoy the recreational activity of scuba diving. It's that simple. Make it as safe, make it a good learning experience as you can for them, and do it the way you feel like it. I hope that makes people happy because I will always teach the way I teach. Not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's just how I feel about it. I don't have large classes, and maybe people have 30, 40 people in a class. I know they've got their assistants and stuff, but my point is pay attention. Learn your students' needs so you can teach them. Everyone that gets a class from me gets taught individually, even in a class, because I'm always looking for the idiosyncrasies that, Ken, that'll get you killed. Now, let me explain why, and then I want you to practice this technique. There's more than one way to skin a cat, but really teaching people to be comfortable in the water is a big achievement right off the bat. We've all had students that were, I'm taking scuba diving because I can't swim, and I want to learn to be in the water, or something along those lines. And I think, you know, throw them in the water and say swim or drown, that's crazy and idiotic. So you introduce them in a way that they can participate in activities in the aquatic environment and feel comfortable all the time. Now, and this is not a panic move. Thought I'd say that.
How do you feel about the swim tests and open water training?
Well, for me personally, because of my aquatic background, everyone swims in my class, and I can evaluate their water orientation better that way. And I should have a pretty good eye of, like, I can tell you how you can pick it up a little bit or make it a little more easy. And I try to pass those tips on. Believe it or not, they get a lot in my class.
I believe it.
I just believe in making people water oriented.
You look at the swim test as kind of an assessment versus a pass or fail.
Perfect statement. It's an assessment. I get an idea of what you can do in the water, how comfortable you are in the water. Because you can just tell by a person in the water if they're comfortable or not. But have them swim. Look at their stroke. I'm not trying to turn and say, oh, God, you're not Michael Phelps. You know, I mean, no, that's not the idea. The idea is that you have some kind of concept of how to go through the water efficiently and feel comfortable in the water. Because if you've got a student that feels uncomfortable in the water, you've got your hands full until you get them oriented.
Pool, teaching in the pool. A big thing that's come up in recent years is people get into a heated exchange about whether or not teach students on their knees. Some people are saying, like, right in the very beginning in the pool, they got to be neutral and everything. And then some people are saying by the end of the pool, they do it. But at first, you kind of got to get them over that task loading, let them get situated, then kind of move on to that. And some people are saying, no, not at all. Where do you stand on that?
Back again, looking at people's water orientation. In my opinion, every class is different. Every person is different. Again, my classes aren't that big, so I have a chance to be more individualized with the way I teach. And I can look at what I feel is their need and address it that way. If I've got someone that has mannerisms or idiosyncrasies that says, oh, they're not that comfortable, put them on terra firma. That's where we are. We're not conducting this water. If there's an interview in the water, we're doing it here on land because we're land-oriented mammals. We are.
So you're saying if they're not comfortable enough, you may need to start them there first.
I see nothing wrong with that at all.
And then as long as
and they're... And then evolve. We do stair-step training. That's what we do. I talk to my group when I first meet them. I kind of get an idea of this and that. We do some water sessions, swims and things. And then we build a program. I know where to go with this guy. This would be the knee group over here. These people here are floating. I'll use them as training models. My courses are not limited by time or anything. They're just tall.
So you think that's a bigger part is not using a one-size-fits-all. In order to do that, you've got to have the time.
Yes. And I'm fortunate that I've always had small classes. I can do that.
So some people are talking about they only teach people on back plate and wings. They say it starts them out in a more proper trim. It makes them a little more aware of what they're doing. They don't have to keep buying new stuff. They've already got the thing that'll take them all the way. That is the argument for it. How do you feel about starting out new open water students with a back plate and wing?
I have no problem with it. If you know how to teach it, you know, a lot of the technical stuff I teach is back plate and wings because that's what they require. You know, I've dove it with a jacket. You have too. Everyone has. I mean, we're divers, but we can share our experiences with other people. I dive wings. I'll dive wings in open water. I'll dive side mount in open water, but I primarily use it in caves. You go to a lot of resorts, back plates and wings aren't adjusted if you're on a cruise ship and you're renting gear. You better know how to use the jacket. That's all I'm telling people.
So do you think someone that's only trained and only gone up with a back plate and wing might actually be caught a little off guard with a regular jacket style at a resort?
I know for a fact they have. I know for a fact they have.
Really?
I have been in, was it Curacao? Oh, it doesn't matter. But I think I was in the ABCs and I saw this man and woman and they had been trained up in Northwest Florida and cave country, and they had learned on backpacking wings. and they weren't sure how to set everything up. It was different because they didn't have the same type of ballast arrangement, and it threw them a curve. And it was jacket style. It was all jackets they had at that resort.
Yeah, usually the rentals seem to be jackets.
Seem to be, yeah.
Yeah, most of the time. Yes. The solution is, you think, to at least orient yourself a little bit with everything?
So in my courses, you get to try jackets, backpack, wings. You get to try it all.
It's still a male-dominated industry.
In my opinion, yeah.
The DEMA stats from a few years ago have it at about 68, 69% male.
Lower for us than I thought. I thought it'd be higher. That's good.
It's getting better. Mm-hmm. It's starting to equalize out more. But why do you suppose it's still male dominated?
Well, let's look at the world of athletics. I don't know about you, but I'm old. My mother grew up in an era where athletics weren't that available. Women's basketball, it was a joke, smaller ball. It was just, they never got the chance that we got because men played sports. Women need to be barefoot and pregnant. I'm just saying. I mean, that was the kind of the mindset at one time in America. And as we evolved, that was true. It's not a joke. And so women didn't have the opportunity. We had all the good shoes. They got our handy down, so to speak, as we're moving up in sports. If this makes sense, but it's going in this direction. And that's the reason I think that now we've got some fine women playing sports, and they play like champions. They're so good. Women volleyball, I mean, the talent is there. WNBA, Jesus. Them girls can shoot the eyes out of the ball. I mean, they're great. The WNBA is awesome to watch. The athleticism is just, God. And that's my answer to that.
Okay. So we're seeing more and more women leaders in diving.
Good. That's important.
Do you think this trend's going to continue from originally being a male-dominated industry?
Do I see it balancing out? Is that the question? Make sure I understand. I don't see how it can't. I don't see how it can't. I have never known a girl that dives, that doesn't love it, and tries to get her girlfriends to do it. It's too enjoyable. It's not gender-specific activity. Anyone can do it.
Don, what do you think is, when a new student is looking to get scuba certified, they're shopping around, all right, I made a decision, I'm going to do it, but they don't know where to start, what's one piece of advice you give them?
Definitely shop around. And you've had teachers and professors and instructors that sucked. Primarily personality, political views, whatever the case may be. But there was a personality conflict. It just, man, I can't fly. And you've had ones that, my God, in fact, I want to be like that guy. That guy is great. You know what I mean? He communicates so well, and he makes me feel, and you know, you've had that exposure. So that's my answer, really.
So you're saying the instructor is the most important thing?
In my opinion, yes. I do feel the instructor is everything. Talk to the person. Feel their passion if you can, if you have that capability, if you have the time.
You've been diving since the 60s, and you've been teaching for decades. You still seem to love it. Like, what's the secret sauce, man?
It's the most fascinating place I've ever been. And I've been a few places. And the stuff, whew, almost said a red word. The stuff you encounter is always ever-changing and so peaceful. I don't know how to describe it other than the fact, to me, it's nirvana. I'm supposed to be pretty water-oriented, so that should help.
What do you lean on the most as an instructor? Like, when you're going, like, what skill set do you have that you think gives you really your ability to do a good job teaching?
Ooh, patience. I have the patience of the Rock of Gibraltar. I will sit there and go with you, go over kicking with you if you have something that is stressing you a little bit until we get it right. I think probably my best asset, and I'm not being conceited, I just really think it is because I've always noticed it with others and trying to learn from other instructors, as we all do. Steal from each other. If you don't, you're a dumbass, because that's what we do. We learn more. Never stop learning.
But you steal from each other. Like, what do you mean by that?
Like, if I hear you say something, oh, that's a great way to say that. I'm getting it. I'm sticking it into my repertoire when I talk to my class.
One of the big elements of being a good instructor is learning and borrowing and, like you said, stealing little nuggets from other instructors.
It helps me. It helps me from being all-powerful, all-supreme Oz. And again, patience. Patience to me is a virtue. I'm very fortunate. I have a lot of patience.
I did a private student a couple months ago, right?
Wonderful.
And I've always taught, you know, the figure four with fins. You know, you can lean on something, go
absolutely,
like this, put it on like that, or you can do it sitting down. But she said, well, I call that the flamingo.
Well, it's pretty flamingo-ish to me, too.
Right?
Isn't that perfect?
Yeah.
God, yes. The figure four, a.k.a. the flamingos.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the flamingo?
Never heard that term, but it's perfect. Because you always see flamingos standing around on one leg, preening.
It's a good visual.
Yes, it is.
And that was the most recent class I had. And I was like, boom, that changed a whole term. moving forward.
And you learn from a student. See, we still learn from students.
Absolutely.
They'll say something, and you'll think, holy shit, I never put in that phrase before, but that's perfect. Because now I see how they see it. Son of a gun, there is more ways to skin a cat. You don't have to just be set in your syllabus. Screw that. Learn from everyone and make it work.
You know, like the great Don Boyer said in a past interview, if you stop learning, you die.
You do. That's an absolute.
It's the biggest takeaway line ever. It came from you. What are you most looking forward to right now, just you personally?
A little bit longer. A little bit longer on the planet.
Yeah?
Yeah, God, yeah.
How old are you right now?
77.
77?
Yeah.
Well, Don, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Surprised I got a retake.
You let us come up to your home, your corner of the world here, Daytona. We thought this would make an interesting backdrop. Also, what's the name of this park?
Frank Rendon Park, A1A Daytona Beach Shores.
And if you want to support my channel, go to sweetwaterscuba.com. We have all the good stuff, like the shirts, the hats, the stickers, everything. Autographed kids' books are on there, and wholesale opportunities for retailers. Don't forget, we're on almost every major channel. Put out daily content, new stuff all the time. I'm on live all the time, so hopefully I'll see you on either TikTok, Kenny_Dial, Instagram, sweetwater_scuba, Facebook, just search me, or just search me in your browser, Kenny Dial. One of those should come up. Finally, the YouTube channel has all the podcasts and all of the short form stuff. It actually kind of has everything in one spot. Either way, I hope to see you on one of these apps, on one of these pages. Whatever connects us to the underwater world, I hope to see you there. Let's show the rest of the world the rest of the world.